morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caribou. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Jors. We're talking some Packers football. It's NFL draft season. To talk about the draft, we have a special guest joining us on the line this morning. We have Josh Norris of NFL.com and RotoWorld to talk a little NFL draft with us. Josh, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on.
No problem. Let's kick it off with your mock draft posted at NFL.com. You have the Green Bay Packers taking safety DJ Swearinger of South Carolina University. Why do you think he's going to the Green Bay Packers? And just tell us a little bit about DJ.
Well, just as the draft process is going, I actually have another mock draft coming out today, and we won't go into who I have Packers taking just yet. But Swearinger's an excellent prospect, in my opinion, and the number three player at his position, even higher than some bigger names like Matt Elam. I really like, obviously, the great highlight reel tackles DJ Swearinger makes. I mean, he hits with force. He's a very aggressive player. But to me, he has a lot more range in terms of being able to work sideline to sideline, can play in the box. I believe he can play even a little bit of single high safety. And there were even times where he lined up at corner. And one game this year was against Tennessee, and he did a very good job against his very talented Tennessee defenders. And so I think he offers a lot of versatility there in the back half of the first round.
So are you going to give us, like, the scoop here on who you have the Packers taking now? Is that okay? Is this embargoed?
And, you know, just as long as everyone goes and clicks on the mock draft, I guess. You know, I struggled with it quite a bit because I really like Jonathan Cyprian of FIU, and I think he'd be a great piece for the Packers to have, but he's already gone, in my opinion. I think Swearinger's another possible. Matt Elam, because everyone seems to love him a lot more than I do. But I said about Jesse Williams, the versatile defensive lineman. He's getting pegged as a nose tackle, and I don't think that really does him complete justice. Mm-hmm. I think he's athletic enough to be able to play an end in the three-man front. He did that quite a bit before this season when he moved to nose tackle when Josh Chapman was at Alabama. And so that ability to win at the point of attack with his strength. He's not Justin Smith, I would say, but he can do some of the similar things in terms of lock up the blockers and allow for the outside linebackers to work more freely in space and not have to deal with offensive tackles or offensive guard as often.
Going back to the safety topic here, you were one of the first people I've seen get on the Jonathan Cyprian bandwagon. And by the way, is it Cyprian or Cyprian? I've heard it pronounced both ways. Do you know?
I go with Cyprian, but I know nothing if that is the correct answer or not. That's just my only guess.
I'll have to go to FIU's website, see if they have a pronunciation guide. But anyway, you were one of the first people I've seen on the Jonathan Cyprian bandwagon. You know, if I remember just taking a look at your entire mock draft, yet you had like four safeties gone overall in the first round. Could you talk maybe a little bit? I know you did a little bit about this class already, but could you talk about Cyprian and what you think about him and the safeties?
Cyprian fan, when he made a name for himself national media wise, I guess. Because he played a lot of strong safety in college, and a lot of he goes full blast every single play. But he's very composed in his angles, and he's a very reliable tackler. Now, at the Senior Bowl, and because it's so difficult to evaluate safeties throughout the entire process for someone on the outside, because you only have certain angles, you have to probably watch four games that equates just to one just to figure out when they're in the frame. But at the Senior Bowl, he played some more interchangeable, more free safety, and did very well at it. He has plenty of range. There was one play that stuck out to me. I believe it was either against Mike Glennon or Ryan Nassib, where he started on the opposite hash. It was a quick read, vertical shot to the left side. and he timed it perfectly, running from the opposite hash, slowed his angle just a bit, and really disrupted and took out both his own teammate, the defender, and the receiver at the catch point. I think he's an interchangeable piece. Now, I'm not sure if that's necessarily where all teams are going now, because teams have seen the success of, let's say, the Seattle Seahawks, who have more of a strong and free safety, and even the Baltimore Ravens, who have more of a strong and free safety. Whereas in the past, I think a lot of teams wanted to go to that interchangeable pieces in the back half just to diagnose or make our defenses harder to diagnose. I think Cyprian's absolutely a first-round pick. Now, I'm not sure if they're going to be three or four safeties selected in the first round. That's where I have it, somewhere in that range right now. Because of how deep the safety class is, that you can get stars in the second and the third round. Guys like Bakari Rambo, who I think can play that single high free safety position very well. Even guys like Josh Evans from Florida, Earl Wolf from NC State are very good prospects. I mean, like J.J. Wilcox from Georgia Southern. And those guys can be had in the second, third, maybe even fourth round.
You mentioned before Jesse Williams, and I think this kind of leads right into my next question here a little bit. I personally wrote an article, not to make this about me, but I wrote an article saying if there's one player the Packers could trade up for, it would be defensive lineman Sheldon Richardson. And there's been a lot of chat on our blog, the comment section about where Sheldon Richardson fits in, and is he a 3-4 defensive lineman? What are your thoughts on him? Could he fit into that defense? And you know, what do you think about Sheldon Richardson?
You know, just going through my mock draft, it was very tough to find a place for Sheldon Richardson. Certain teams he would work for, some not, and he's been mocked to the Carolina Panthers so many times at number 14. That I'm trying not to do that because it seems like it's not going to happen just because of how often people have been pegging him there.
Yeah.
That really works out. You know, he did play a lot of three technique, obviously, at Missouri, and he wins mostly by getting a great jump off the ball. And he runs the line very well, almost like a linebacker, especially someone for his size. Creates great penetration in the backfield. Now, one game really stands out to me, and that's against Kentucky, where he lined up against a very good prospect in Larry Warford, who I think is a top 25, 30 overall talent in this draft. But he was dominated at the point of attack quite often, pushed off the line, negated. And that's worrisome. Now, I do think that he would offer a lot more pass rush up front. But I wouldn't compare the two because I like Richardson a lot more than I did Jarrell Worthy. I worry maybe they think that they're similar prospects in terms of winning off the snap, creating that initial penetration. So I'm not sure if they would feel comfortable utilizing a first-round pick or even trading up for someone that they think they might already have a role player in that certain fit for.
I gotcha.
Would you agree with that?
No, if that's totally fair. I think he is a very similar player to Jarrell Worthy. Personally, I've been very disappointed in Jarrell Worthy, but, you know, he is young. We'll give him time. We'll see how he comes around. He unfortunately had the ACL injury in, like, the very end of the regular season. He might be out a while. But anyway, getting back on topic here. I had on as a guest last week Scott Wright of NFL Draft Countdown, and I asked him about potential first-round quarterbacks because I think with the Packers being late in the first round, there's also the possibility that, hey, maybe some team wants to jump up and grab a quarterback, you know, the future of their franchise late in the first round. He mentioned Ryan Nassib of the of Syracuse being possibly reunited with Doug Marrone with the Bills. Is there any other first-round quarterbacks that could go, you know, late in round one?
Yes. Once again, quarterback position is very tough to peg. And even my personal rankings aren't even going to be close to how it pans out overall, just because that's what I like in the certain flavors and the certain traits that I covet. Now, I could definitely see Ryan Nassib being there in the late first round as a potential trade-off target or a potential even trade-down target. As you look at the San Francisco 49ers, and and how many picks they have and how close they seemingly are. Now, are they going to go the route of acquiring a whole bunch of talent, having more darts, and so filling in for that older talent they have on that roster in some areas? Or are they going to package them together and move up and get a dynamic playmaker, possibly in a Tavon Austin? And if Tavon Austin is the target, maybe number eight there with the Buffalo Bills would be an option. And so the Bills might go all the way down, pick up one of those second rounders, maybe even a second rounder this year, second rounder next year, something like that, and move down to that number 31 slot. And I think Ryan Nassib would definitely be a target there. Now, another name I think is definitely a possibility in the first round is E.J. Manuel. Now, I don't agree with that at all. But just for how much buzz has been around him, the certain traits he has, the certain characteristics he has in terms of being mobile enough to buy himself some time. Now, I don't think he handles pressure well, but I think that could be confused with I think his mobility and being able to buy himself time could be confused with handling pressure well, if that makes sense. He's got a quick release, obviously, and a lot of people like him. And I don't agree with that, but just from what I have read, I think the first round is definitely a possibility. But I think that those three quarterbacks are pretty much the only top three, are pretty much the only, Geno Smith included, are the three candidates to go in the first round. I really don't think Matt Barkley will end up there. Mm-hmm. And I really like Tyler Wilson. He's not going to end up there. I can definitely say that. And Mike Glennon, I don't think that Mike Glennon is going to be a first-rounder either.
Before we let you go, Josh, I got one more question to you. Fullback is a position that isn't, you know, given a whole lot of attention, but I just want to know, maybe, because we've never covered this on the show before, who's the number one fullback in this year's draft class? If there's one name we could maybe pay attention to.
Well, his name is tough to say, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but it's Kyle Juszczyk from Harvard.
Okay.
Just don't ask me to spell his name.
Senior Bowl, right?
Senior Bowl player, there you go, you're right. He's awesome. I really like him. Now, you go back and watch his tape at Harvard, and he lined up a lot as a receiver. He was actually their best receiver, and that's at like a squatty 6'2 and 230, 40 pounds, whatever it is. Lined up in the slot, lined up out wide as a vertical target, and so he's very comfortable catching the football. And I think that that's very much necessary for fullbacks these days, even if it's in the flats or down the field on any pattern. I think that they can't fight the football. And Juszczyk also, sure, he didn't block a whole lot because he was more of an H-back or tight end at Harvard, but at the Senior Bowl, he showed a very much willingness to lead block, create some holes there. And I think that he's definitely in that fourth, fifth, sixth round range, probably in the fifth or sixth.
Very good. Well, Josh, I've kept you past longer than I told you I would, so I apologize that. But I thank you so much for coming on. You're a wealth of knowledge, and we definitely appreciate your time here at Cheesehead TV.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Take care. Josh Norris of NFL.com and RotoWorld joining us this morning on Cheesehead TV's Railbird Central. Glad to be having him join us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us here this morning. A Monday morning, getting back in the groove here. So, doing some NFL draft talk, and we got a couple other topics to talk about. And the one other thing I really wanted to touch on today, we have the newest member of the Green Bay Packers we have to talk about, at least reportedly the newest member of the Packers. The Packers haven't confirmed it. I haven't seen the NFL confirm it yet. But the Packers reportedly signed a free agent this past weekend, tight end Matthew Mulligan. And hopefully the Packers won't need a mulligan after signing this guy. But he was with the St. Louis Rams last season. He was with the Jets before that. So he's been a five-year veteran in the NFL. So he's been around the block before. But he's not a name that's at the tip of people's tongues. He's not like this big name tight end. And I think what you're going to find, and our very own Zach Cruz wrote a good post here at Cheesehead TV about Matthew Mulligan. introducing him and what he brings to the table. But I think you're going to find a lot of similarities to the departed tight end, Tom Crabtree, here in Green Bay. So what the Packers did was basically they lose Tom Crabtree, their tight end / H-back / fullback, blocking tight end type of guy, and replaced him somebody who's might be even better, at least if you're going to look at the statistics at profootballfocus.com. And I'll just read here what our very own Zach Cruz wrote. He writes here, quote, of Mulligan's 411 offensive snaps last season, only 93 had him run a route as a receiver. He was a run or pass blocker on over 77% of his 411 snaps. In comparison, Crabtree played 389 snaps in 2012 and was a blocker on over 73% of his total offensive snaps. So there you go. Continues on here. While Crabtree might be a slightly more accomplished receiver, Mulligan had just 14 career receptions for 144 yards and one score, compared to 18 receptions, 302 yards, and four scores for Crabtree, Mulligan has graded out as the better overall blocker. According to Pro Football Focus, Mulligan was ranked the 10th best run-blocking tight end in the NFL last season, while Crabtree finished 55th. Mulligan also finished 2011 in the top 10 for run-blocking tight ends and graded out as a marginally better pass blocker both seasons. So there you go. There's the your, in a nutshell, Matthew Mulligan profile. So very good run blocker. He's the type of guy I imagine will be utilized if he makes the roster, and that's no given. He'll be utilized very similarly to Tom Crabtree, lining up in the backfield, lining up as an inline tight end, not being used as a receiver all that much, although, of course, occasionally it's inevitable that he'll be out there running a route and perhaps catching a pass. You know what? That the Packers might lose a little bit compared to, you know, what Crabtree brought to the table from a receiving standpoint. I thought the job Tom Crabtree did as a receiver in 2012 was underrated. You know, of course, having the taking the fake field goal for a touchdown, the long 70-plus yard reception against the Cardinals this past year, he really showed some decent speed in the open field. And I don't think you're going to get that in Matthew Mulligan, but you might get a better blocker. And I also saw, you know, I think Bob McGinn from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel refer to that on Twitter. You know, a guy who can take out the defensive end for you. He can chip in, things like that. So this is what the Packers have. Probably a special teams player as well. I mean, it's almost inevitable. I admittedly know nothing about Matthew Mulligan's special teams acumen. But it's inevitable that he is going to play it if he makes the roster, and he'll be asked to play special teams. What units exactly, I have no clue. But anyway, let's see here. Matthew Mulligan, from what I've heard, he signed a one-year deal with the Packers, and you know, not much more than the NFL minimum, but with a little guaranteed money. And I guess he actually chose the Packers over the San Francisco 49ers because of the guaranteed money. The Packers offered a little more guaranteed money, probably even if he's released or anything like that. But still, regardless, this is a low-risk signing. So once again, while the roster is at 90 people, I just, you know, scratch my head sometimes. And the people who complain, there's Ted Thompson making another splash signing in free agency. Every team makes these kind of signings, these low-risk signings at this time of year. You know, Yeah, that he's probably not going to be the difference between winning a Super Bowl and not. But you see what you got, and he adds depth, and he adds the blocking aspect, and who knows, he could be a very nice prospect in the right situation, in the right role. So that's what he provides, and hopefully he goes on to a nice little career with the Green Bay Packers. Although it is only a 1-year contract, so. If he's going to go on to more than that, he's going to have to earn it and get another contract a year from now or an extension along the line somewhere. We'll see how it all pans out. The Packers have a lot of depth at tight end at the moment. With Crabtree gone, but basically replacing him, they got JerMichael Finley, of course, back. Everybody is well aware of JerMichael Finley's presence and status on the team, but, they've got Andrew Corliss coming back from the injury. They've got DJ Williams and Ryan Taylor still on the roster. They've got Brandon Bostic, the kid who was on the practice squad all last season, hanging around. They must feel good about him if they're going to keep him on the practice squad all year and not let him get away and re-sign him after the season's gone. So will be some good competition at the tight end position this year. Excited to see how that happens, and I myself have thought that they could certainly be addressing tight end in the NFL draft as well. We will see. We'll find out. A lot of that depends on how they feel about JerMichael Finley and whether he could be back for another season beyond 2013. How they feel about Andrew Corliss coming back from injury. And how they feel about the guys further down the depth chart, like Williams, Taylor, and Bostic. So, you see Tyler Eifert, the Notre Dame tight end, in mock drafts going fairly frequently to the Packers. Whether that happens or not, have no clue, but very well could be a situation that plays out. I don't know if he'll last that long. I don't think he will, actually. I think he's the number one tight end in this year's draft, and somebody's going to value him a little bit more ahead of the 26th slot in the draft. So anyway, we're talking NFL draft here on Railbird Central. We are now, less than 3 weeks away, little more than 2 weeks away till the NFL draft. So we're going to keep hitting that topic a lot here at Railbird Central. Hopefully I'll have some more guests on for you in the coming days until the NFL draft occurs and gets underway. So excited to do that. It's so exciting at that time of year, like 3 days. That's all you're talking about. That's all you're, that the NFL draft lasts a 3-day process now. And I love it. Those 3 days, that Thursday, Friday, Saturday, it's just, you're engrossed in it, and we'll have coverage up the wazoo here at Railbird Central. The NFL draft, we'll be having the live stream, just like you see right now. We'll have the live chat going on during the draft. People can chat, talk about the picks, etc., etc. It should be really good and really exciting. So, What else is going on in the world of the Green Bay Packers that we can hit on here before we hit the 9 o'clock hour? I see tomorrow Clay Matthews making a nationally televised appearance on the Mindy Project. I just saw a commercial for it last night. Packers linebacker Clay Matthews appearing on a Fox sitcom tomorrow evening. So, we'll be watching that tomorrow evening. Maybe we'll talk about that Wednesday morning here at Railbird Central. Clay Matthews getting on a sitcom in the off season. So excited to see that. It caught me by surprise. I hadn't even heard about this until I saw the promo commercial last night. It just caught me by surprise. I had to do a double take. Clay Matthews on a sitcom. What is this? We're getting ready for that. Apparently, airing tomorrow. So, there wasn't a whole lot of Packers news over the weekend. So, taking place today, actually wrapping up today, is the Super Regional Combine in Dallas. This is, if you don't know, the NFL is the big combine, you know, in Indianapolis, and I'm sure you've heard about that, and we had coverage here at Cheesehead TV about that in late February. But they also have all these regional combines taking place all over the country, like 10 of them, seriously, literally 10 of them. And what they do is these are for guys who are not invited to the combine, you know, lesser known college prospects, things like that, guys who might slip through the cracks. It's an opportunity for them to perform in front of scouts. And then what they do after these 10 regional combines are done, they invite over 200 of them to Dallas. This year it's in Dallas. Last year it was in Detroit. So they kind of move it around. Find the best guys. And you know, there's a few of these guys who will stand out. You know, probably a handful of them will get taken in the NFL draft. I know there's been some coverage on the NFL Network and NFL.com about this. There's this British Olympic discus thrower. Oh, what's his name now? Lawrence something. Maybe somebody could put it on the chat there, what this guy's name is. I actually wrote about it in this morning's Packers calendar item. He's like 6'5", over 300 pounds. He competed in the Olympics in the discus for England, for the UK, this past summer here. Okoye, Philip has him on our chat here. Okoye, Lawrence Okoye, just like former NFL running back Christian Okoye. Seems like perfect size for a 3-4 defensive end. He's like 6'5", a little over 300 pounds. You know, seems to be that perfect size for a 3-4 defensive end. This could be a guy that maybe the Packers have their eye on. Obviously, an elite athlete if you're competing in the Olympics as a discus thrower. And if you're a discus thrower, and I myself am a track and field person, those kind of guys, they have what you call long levers, long arms. If you're going to be, you know, especially at that level, you know, you get to the Olympics and you're chucking that discus, you know, hundreds of feet. You got to have some pretty long arms to do that. So that's probably one intriguing thing about this Lawrence Okoye that he brings to the table. Long arms, a tall frame. The guy's going to be raw as hell, you know, never has played football before. You know, somebody's going to take him and develop him and sign him and, you know, see how he does. But interesting name to keep an eye on. If you want it, there's a little more about him in this morning's Packers calendar. You scroll to the bottom right-hand corner of the page. It should be down. I got a link to him. So check that out if you want. But it's now 9 o'clock, and I thank you everybody so much for joining us here this morning at Railbird Central. Thanks to Josh Norris of NFL.com and RotoWorld for joining us for talking a little NFL draft. It was great to have him on the show. Trying to line up somebody for Wednesday as well. I have nothing confirmed yet, but I'll let you know on Twitter. But anyway, glad to have you joining us here this morning, folks. On behalf of Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Caravu. I leave you today with a song called Nemo by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack Go. We'll be right back.